Blog Talk Radio.
It's October 2nd, the Roman Show Talks Mixed Martial Arts, as we welcome UFC veteran, World Series of Fighting veteran, World Series of Fighting fighter, Jacob Volkman, the first transgender MMA fighter, Fallon Fox, who meets Ashley Evans-Smith. Both of the women will be on the show tonight as they get ready for the fight October 12th. And XFC's Ben Brewer, as he prepares for his fight coming up as well. Follow us on Twitter at RomanDH and at The Roman Show as the show starts right now.
Step down to the get down.
All right, whenever you're ready.
5 seconds to the open.
Aquarius, watch that little gimbal.
We don't want you coming off in the face.
Booster, go.
Retro,
go.
Vital,
go. Fire.
Guidance, sandstone.
Surgeon,
go. Blight.
Gone.
We're go. Blight.
GNC,
we're go.
Telling you, go.
Control.
FAO,
we are go.
Network,
go.
Covering,
go.
Capcom,
we're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
The Roman Show.
With your host, Rodolfo Roman.
Going on, everyone. It's October 2nd, the Roman Show. Guillermo Garcia, the MMA Encyclopedia, will be joining me shortly. But want to make sure that you guys subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/rroman0201. Also, follow us on Twitter at RomanDH, also at The Roman Show, and like our fan page, facebook.com/RomanShowMedia. And while you're at it, you might win a pair of tickets to the CFA show next Saturday if you live in South Florida or Florida and want to make down the trip. All you got to do is, again, like our fan page, go on Facebook, look up Roman Show Media. Look it up, and the first two likes will get a pair of tickets each to the show, courtesy of The Roman Show. Guys, if you want to get your business some exposure, you don't have to invest a lot of money putting it out on TV. All you have to do is call simplyjvideos.com. Look them up on the site, simplyjvideos.com. They go out to your business. They shoot some of the great stuff that you have to offer, and they edit a quick short video just to let everyone know what you offer. That's Simply. An Ask Pro company. Guys, as I mentioned earlier today, we're going to welcome UFC veteran and World Series of Fighting fighter Jacob Volkman. He's going to be up first, followed by Fallon Fox. Fallon Fox, as we all know, is a transgender, the first transgender mixed martial artist. And she doesn't do too many interviews, but we had the opportunity of sitting down one-on-one with her to talk about her fight against Ashley Evans-Smith and also overcoming all of the media exposure that was given to her because of her sexuality leading up to the last fight that she had. And it's a new Fallon Fox that we're going to see, considering that she doesn't have all that media exposure that she had the first time around earlier. I believe it was in April, I believe it was the last time she fought. And Ashley Evans-Smith, her opponent, will be on as well. And she lets us know as far as how, what she expects to do against Fox, and followed by Ben Brewer, who has a young but productive record. He will fight on the XFC show. Guillermo Garcia, the MMA Encyclopedia, already on the other end. What's up, Guillermo?
Not much, man. How's everything going?
Pretty good. Can't complain. You know, don't we have right now The Ultimate Fighter? Well, you could tune in later. You could look it up on Hulu or whatever. But kind of slow in the MMA world, although we do have the Bellator show coming up on October 4th with Czech Congo versus Godbear. Congo makes his return to the cage. This last time he fought for the UFC. I think Czech Congo will do pretty well on Bellator, Guillermo.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Bellator heavyweight division is very weak. There's not a lot of top guys. Like, maybe Cole Conrad, you know, who was their former champ, could have given him a ton of trouble. But I just don't feel like there's a lot of guys that can give Chango trouble in that division. It's just there's not a lot of fighters, and the fighters they do have, I would say, are not of the highest quality, you know. I think it takes somebody who's either an elite striker or an elite wrestler in order to give Congo any real trouble. If you're just good striker or good wrestler, I don't know if that's going to be good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can attest to that. I think that he'll be all right in Bellator, especially now down his career, because let's face it, in the UFC, he wasn't going to get a title shot. So this is as close as he could get to gold, and that's in Bellator. Guillermo, let's go to a quick break, and we are going to bring in Jacob Volkman, who fights at the World Series of Fighting here in South Florida. And, guys, you want to go to that show? We got you covered as well. Hit us up on our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/rroman0201. And subscribe. And guess what? You'll go to the show for free. Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to romandh@yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolphoRoman.com. That's RodolphoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolphoRoman.com.
This is your boy Sugar Shot Evans, and you're listening to The Roman Show.
All right, guys, and we're moving forward to our first guest here on the evening. I started off with Metallica, Guillermo, and I said this last night on our show. If you haven't seen Through the Never of Metallica, I highly recommend it to all of our listeners. And this is, it's not like I'm getting paid by Metallica or anything, but it's a great movie. I've seen Metallica about four times, and I got to tell you that seeing it in the movie theater in IMAX 3D is an experience unlike nothing, and you have to really check it out because it literally seems that you are a part of Metallica in the band on stage, and it's just crazy stuff, man. And I know, Guillermo, you're a big fan of Metallica.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a little pricey, I gotta be honest, but listen, at the end of the day, it's well worth it. All right, enough of the talking. Let's welcome in our first guest, World Series of Fighting, Mr. Jacob Volkman, who fights October 26th at the Bank United Center in Coral Gables at the World Series of Fighting, which will be airing on NBC Sports and also on the World Series of Fighting website. That's WSOF.com. The preliminary card will be streamed live, and Jacob will be fighting Luis Firmino on that Saturday. Jacob, welcome to The Roman Show.
Good to be here.
Awesome, Jacob. Thanks very much, man, for taking some time and speaking to us as you get gearing up for this fight, as it was announced actually just recently. That we were going to fight Buscape on this Saturday when the word got out. were you preparing for a fight for this one, or how did it come about? Because the news just recently came out that you were going to fight Firmino.
Yeah, I was preparing either for 155 or 170. They were originally going to have me fight at 170, but they found somebody just recently at 155 that he wanted me to fight. I said, sure, I'm up for it.
Does it really matter as far as the weight with the 150, the 170? Would you have your preference, or you just want to fight?
Well, it didn't really matter to me because I've competed at 170 and 155. The 170 pounders are a little slower, but they hit harder and they're a little stronger. But I don't have a problem with the strength. I can match their strength. I'm probably stronger than most of the 170s out there. And the thing about 155 is a little quicker, but they're not as strong. So there's a give and take for both weight classes.
Well, let's talk about your opponent, Firmino, and we know him quite well, but of course you have a very lengthy experience fighting in the UFC for some time, and now you just started off with the World Series of Fighting. You had one fight with him. This is your second one. Luis Firmino is a guy that loves the ground. He actually defeated Toby Umada prior to his last victory. What are your thoughts on Firmino, even though the notice just came about 2 days that you're fighting this guy?
Well, I've already watched a few of his fights. He has kind of the same game plan, it seems like, in each one of his fights. He keeps on, he rushes in real quick, tries to take you down, and he tries to do the ground game. So the game plan is to circle a lot, move a lot, and I want to try and knock this guy out. That's the goal for this fight. We'll see. Because I've been working a lot of stand-up with this new boxing coach, Robert Brandt. He was on the Olympic ladder for a few years, and I've been working with him for the last year.
And this guy is known, as I said, for his ground game. And like you stated, he rushes in and he tries to take you down. And that is his game plan. Your last defeat came out of a submission. How have you been working on the offense of that side? Because wrestlers always tend to have that thing that they, not all of them, but some of them, get caught in submissions. And how are you practicing or training to avoid or prevent that from ever happening again?
Well, I've been wrestling since I was 4 years old, and I've been doing grappling since for the last 8 years. I'm pretty sure that I can out-grapple this guy any position. I'm not too worried about any of his submissions.
Now, knowing that you have that background in wrestling, and since you've been wrestling for such a long time, are you going to stand up and like you said, you're going to stand and bang with this guy, test him out before he tries to do his same game plan he does?
Not really just standing and banging. It's going to just be me hitting them. That's the goal. Kicking. I'm going to be utilizing a lot of kicks, out kicks, and head kicks, leg kicks and head kicks.
Getting a victory over Buscapé, what would it mean for you? And perhaps could it get you closer to a title shot at the World Series of Fighting if that is your goal?
Well, that is obviously my goal. It's a title shot at 155, and then after I get that belt at 155, possibly looking at 170 to look at one of the, whoever gets it there.
Leaving the UFC, how has it changed you as a fighter?
Well, leaving it?
Well, yeah, when they
did
released
you. Did
you
say leaving the UFC?
No, when they released you, actually, is the proper term I was trying to use. When they released you, how has it changed you as a fighter?
Well, not really. It hasn't changed me very much at all, I wouldn't say. But once I started the UFC, it definitely changed the way I look at how I need to train. I needed to step up the number of practices I did because the level is so much better than any other small shows.
Gotcha. Guillermo?
Hey, Jacob, you know, you've been fighting for a number of years. You still haven't had, like, a knockout or TKO victory. Would you attribute that to you just saw a lot of opportunities for submissions rather than striking, or is it that your striking wasn't quite developed yet at that point to take advantage of those situations?
I would say both. I wasn't developed fully on my stand-up, and I did see a lot of opportunities to take the guy down. It's hard to not take somebody down when you're a wrestler. You want to take the guy down so badly because you see an opening, you want to take it. I did see a lot of opportunities when I took him down for submissions, so that's why I kept him on the ground.
Gotcha. And for years, you've been known by your nickname Christmas, but now Sherdog's showing feel good. What's the story behind that?
Well, I am a chiropractor, So I wanted to try and promote myself as a doctor of chiropractic a little more. And my teammates were like, yeah, you should change your name to Dr. Feelgood since you're always treating us. Can you make us feel good before practice? I said, all right, let's do it.
Now, as far as the name Christmas, you know, for years we've been hearing that nickname from you. It's not exactly the most intimidating nickname I've ever heard. So why did you decide to go with that nickname? What was the inspiration?
Well, I didn't really have a choice. It was Nick Thompson and Brock Lesnar were making fun of my bowl haircut at the time. I looked like Lloyd Christmas from Dumb and Dumber, so they kind of, Nick Thompson called Sure Dog and said, yeah, you should give the guy, his nickname should be Christmas. And I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, no, I was like wondering why would anybody voluntarily call it Christmas? Because you know you'd think it'd be Halloween because that would be more intimidating, you know, somehow. But you know, Christmas, you know, you think, oh, he's gonna give me a gift, you know. But no, definitely Feel Good might be more appropriate now. Yeah, so you're definitely sticking with Feel Good for the rest of your career then.
Yeah, that's the goal, to stick with Feel Good.
And, you know, with your, I mean, have you been training at Minnesota Martial Arts Academy for your entire career, or did you just recently move there?
Well, I started the Minnesota Martial Arts Academy ever since I stopped wrestling for the University of Minnesota, and I stayed there. I don't like to get different coaches that give me different game plans. I want to stick with one coach that's successful, and Greg Nelson's been doing a good job at winning, so I'm going to stick with him and his game plan.
Gotcha. And when you had lost 2 out of 3 and, you know, the UFC released you, you didn't get any urge that you felt, oh, I need to change things up, maybe go to a different camp? That never crossed your mind at all?
No, it didn't cross my mind because I was 6-2 at lightweight. That's a good record in the UFC, and I'm not really sure why they released me, especially since Dana White came to the locker room right after my last loss, and he said, yeah, great fight, best fight of the night. 3 weeks later, I was done.
And when the UFC released you, I mean, did they tell you anything like get a couple wins and you'll be right back, or is your goal just to be the World Series of Fighting champion, or do you really want to get back into the UFC as soon as possible?
I don't want to get back to the UFC. Why would I go to the death circus again? They did say that if you get a few more wins under your belt, I had to stop them right there. Like, that's not going to happen. I'm going to stick with the World Series of Fighting because I got nothing to say bad about.
And Jacob, you mentioned Brock Lesnar. So you were a teammate of Brock back in your Minnesota wrestling days. Tell me the experience being around that big, gigantic man.
He's not as you think that he's just an arrogant jerk. No, he's very quiet. He keeps to himself. He's a good guy. He's a small town guy. Some guy that you want to be in. To get to know if you had a few friends, that's one of the guys that you want as a friend because he will stay with you forever.
And what about his work ethic? Because I've seen videos of this guy just doing these ridiculous type of workouts with lumber and these trees and all this crazy stuff. Did some of that I want to say that work ethic, was that followed through with the rest of the team? And did you know that this guy was going to be the star that he is today when you were with him in the team?
Well, you had to know that because just the way the fans reacted to when he walked out on the mat, everyone was just going crazy when he walked out on the mat. And so you had to know that he was going to be some kind of a celebrity in the future.
And have you ever caught him in the World Wrestling Entertainment with a couple of wrestling matches? And what were your thoughts when you went to pro wrestling? Because I used to wrestle myself, and the whole thing was, if you're an amateur wrestler or an Olympic wrestler, they look at pro wrestling as a joke, and they say, oh, well, it seems almost like you betrayed us. But what were the reaction when your teammates saw Brock Lesnar in a WWE ring, a professional wrestling ring?
You know, I respected it because, you know, it's a great living. It pays well, and they actually work really hard. It's not like they're just doing these routines out there without practice. They practice every day for these routines. They're working out every day. I actually went to watch them one time when him and Shelton Benjamin were fighting for WWE, and I went to watch them with one of my coaches.
That's right. Something mentions another guy that was a phenomenal professional wrestler. Hey, any chance you're gonna hit the pro wrestling ring one day? We can see you as a lightweight, as a flyweight, cruiserweight.
No. I'm only 180 pounds at most 185. I think I get squished.
You could do the cruiserweight.
I don't know what kind of technique I'd have to do to win.
Maybe there's a spot for you there. Maybe there's a spot for you. They could put you in the cruiserweight division. You'll be fine.
I go underneath the guy's leg and give him a snuggie.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, there's several guys, especially in Japan and Mexico. They're very thin guys. They weigh 150 or something like that, and they're high flying. So maybe you could be a high flying guy. Jacob, I want to thank you so much, man, for coming on the show. And looking forward to meet you in Coral Gables October 26th. You can watch the prelims on WSOF.com. The show itself will air live on NBC Sports. Jacob, anything else you'd like to add?
No. It's been great with the World Series of Fighting, and I think there's going to be a lot of great shows to come. So stay tuned to NBC Sports.
Absolutely, Jacob. And again, guys, I want to invite you guys to watch it live. October 26th, NBC Sports, and on the World Series of Fighting.com, they're going to stream the entire prelim where you'll be on, Jacob, against Luis Firmino. That's going to be a good fight to lead into the main card. Jacob, thank you so very much, and we look forward to meeting you on October 26th in Coral Gables.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Have a good night, Jacob, and good luck.
You too.
Bye-bye. Thank you. All right, folks, you heard of Jacob Oakman, former UFC veteran and UFC veteran and now World Series of Fighting fighter who is looking forward to defeating Luis Firmino, the Brazilian, October 26th. You can watch that fight in the prelims at WSOF.com. That's going to be streaming live, and you can catch the entire show on NBC Sports, the main card. Guillermo Garcia, we remember Fallon Fox when she made headlines disclosing that she was a transgender athlete. And I remember at the time she came out on CNN, on TMZ, on LA Times, Sports Illustrated, all these things. But it seems now, Guillermo, that things have settled down. And although Joe Rogan went on a rant and said how it wasn't appropriate for a female to fight Fallon Fox, things are quiet now. And it seems, I don't want to use the word accept, but I want to use the word live with. And she is now going to fight Ashley Evans-Smith. It's at the finals of the CFA Women's Tournament for $20,000 and the CFA Featherweight title. Guillermo, do you think we have moved along already? And that's all in the past, the whole transgender thing.
I think, you know, it could get back in the news depending on what happens with the fight. You know, if it's a competitive fight or ends by submission, I don't think you'll hear as much about it. But if Fallon ends up, like, brutally hurting this girl, then I think that could definitely go into the news, you know. It's possible it might go into the news everywhere anyway. But if she brutally knocks out this girl and this girl, like, has to go to the hospital, I think it could definitely end up in the news that, oh, maybe she shouldn't have been in the ring with Fallon to begin with, and all those stories might come out again.
Well, we'll see about it. What does Fallon Fox have to say about Ashley Evans-Smith and what the people have said? Find out.
Hey, this is Nelly from The Roman Show. Are you tired of listening to Roman and the other guys? Well, listen to me as I keep you up to date on the latest happenings in the world of entertainment. Check me out every Tuesday. Did you miss last week's show? Stream the show on your smartphone device from anywhere on the planet. The Roman Show is now on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes. Download the different apps and stay informed with The Roman Show. Hey, you. Yeah, you. I want you to keep listening to The Roman Show. And you don't want to disappoint me, do you?
All right, welcome back, everyone, to The Roman Show. It's a true honor to have this fighter who will be fighting next Saturday on Access TV and for CFA for the featherweight women's title and $20,000 live on Access TV. We are talking to Fallon Fox. Fallon, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? Good to be here.
Awesome. Thank you so very much, Fallon, for joining us on the show this afternoon. Fallon, first let's talk about your fight. You got Ashley Evans-Smith. Your last fight, you defeated Alana Jones, and you defeated her by submission. And then Ashley Evans was supposed to fight that day, but it didn't happen. Going into this fight, do you feel you have the advantage knowing that she hasn't fought since earlier this year?
Do I have the advantage? It's likely, I think. She hasn't had as much experience in the cage lately, so I probably got the upper hand right there. So, yeah, I would say so.
Now, in an interview with Ashley, she said that she wasn't really impressed with your ground game. That's what she had told me prior to that. What were your comments to that? And I'm pretty sure you saw that interview.
Yeah, I saw that interview. I mean, I'm not really too impressed with her ground game, actually, from what I've seen. I mean, she's got some decent takedowns, but I haven't seen much jiu-jitsu out of her. I really haven't seen many submissions. And, her versus me, if you see video on me versus her, I'm taking people down left and right. So I don't know what she's talking about in that regard.
And going into that, because something that's surprising about Ashley and surprised me, the first time she fought for CFA in her debut, she was known for her wrestling, but in her first fight, she actually used more of her stand-up game. And you are known for your stand-up game. Do you think she'll trade hands with you?
I highly doubt if she's going to want to trade hands with me. I highly doubt it. I think she's going to be a little bit timid in this fight. I don't even think she knows what she's up against. So I think she's probably just going to try and, run or just try and, tire me out. I think she's going to try and do what my previous opponent, Alana, did, which was just, kind of evade and do a little bit of sticking and moving, but not really stand there and try and trade, you know what I mean? She might try and take me down, I don't know, but I don't think she's going to, really as she's saying that she will.
Fallon, Ashley Evans-Smith is known for her wrestling, and as I mentioned to you, in her first fight, she used more of her hands. You say that she probably won't stand up with you because of what you bring to the table. But as far as you, what have you been doing to counter her wrestling?
What I've been doing? I've been doing a lot of wrestling, pressing against the cage. I've just been doing what I normally do. I mean, I really don't have to change things up that much. Our styles are similar, although I'm a lot better at what I do than she is. So.
And Fallon, when you fought Alana Jones, and which you defeated her by submission, some of the pundits were saying that you were getting tired. Was that accurate, or were you okay after that?
It was a little bit accurate. I mean, I didn't have as much time to train for that last fight as I did for this fight. I had a lot of media going on, and I had a lot of explaining to do. And then, hey, you have to understand. I mean, I just come out, right? I mean, that's the first time anyone's ever done anything like this, so it was a lot to take in and a lot to do. But I'm a lot more prepared this time around than last time, for sure. I mean, I wouldn't expect it to go the same way that it did the last time.
What have you been doing for that cardio to get it better?
I've been working with my physical trainer, Dan Finnegan, and we've been working hard. A lot of cardio work, a lot of running, a lot of drills, and I'd like to thank my sponsor, Training Mass, for giving me high altitude training gear to help me prepare for this fight. So.
Yeah, and in fact, I just caught a picture of you with a Training Mass. It's a pretty cool picture. They're doing like a yoga pose.
You like that?
That was pretty cool.
I
gotta congratulate you because Fallon, what you've done is something awesome. And I remember I saw you after that fight with Alana Jones, and she tried to be funny and put the Aerosmith song, and you had all this pressure. How did you manage to prepare yourself mentally for that? Because that's tough, Fallon, and I tip my hat off to you.
Yeah, I mean, to prepare prepared for that. I mean, I really wasn't sure to expect for that. I mean, and that was, and actually, I really didn't think that anyone would allow a song like that to be played. You know, if you can imagine, like, someone playing, like, a song like, I don't know, kind of like racial, a song with racial overtones or, like, you know, sexual overtones, and someone who was, like, you know, either gay or lesbian or something like that. That was, like, cruel and it was wrong and it was horrible and, you know, but, I mean, I don't foresee that happening again to anyone. And I don't think an organization will allow that to be played again or anything of that nature. I think we're beyond that now. So, you know, that's what it was, and, you know, we're moving past it, so.
Yeah, I think that definitely it's done and over. You already disclosed the information. I think people are up to it. But again, I really tip my hat off to you, because not only were you worried about your opponent, but these little things and the media and the this and that, and mentally, I mean, that can drain you. But on a positive note, Fallon, you were recently at a parade, at the Pride Parade. Tell us about that experience and how did that come about?
Oh, that was great. That was awesome. I marched with GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, and the New York Pride Parade this last summer. It was fun. I mean, I got to see a lot of other people who were like me, and a lot of supporters. I don't know. It had to have been around like a million plus people there. Just, you know, partying in the streets and celebrating diversity.
Well, and I had just prior to the interview, I mentioned to you that aside from the NBA player who disclosed that he was gay too, Darren Young of the World Wrestling Entertainment, professional wrestler, also disclosed that he was gay. Do you think that this right now society's accepting it already? We're moving forward with this, and it no longer will be a big deal, say, if an NFL football player were to come out of the closet?
Yeah, so yeah, as far as like lesbians and gays, of course. So like that's like, I mean, we're way past it there. I mean, in the last 10 years we've grown by leaps and bounds in acceptance. You know? So, and the trans issue is coming along right behind it, and people are starting to understand that it's different than being gay if you're a male or female transsexual, but it's kind of similar in the discrimination that we have faced, but it's getting better, and people are starting to wake up, especially since I've come on.
Cool. Now, let's talk about you and Ashley. Let's go back to that subject. Prior to the women's tournament, you guys were hanging out in the back, taking pictures. Are we going to see this the same prior to the fight, or is it going to be a little bit more personal to this?
Personally, I don't take it personal. You know, I just don't. I mean, it's a fight to me, you know. I really have respect for every one of my opponents, you know. As far as technique is concerned, if anybody wants to, like, if she wants to talk smack about my technique and, like, you know, stuff like that, you know, we can go for it. I mean, that's the nature of the game. That's what we do. We're fighters. But, you know, we don't take it personally. At least I don't.
Yeah, because you guys have been on Twitter. You guys were going at a little bit there.
Yeah. We're just getting at each other. Just throwing some jabs here and there, as we're going to do in the cage. So.
Well, Fallon,
and like I said, as long as it's fight-oriented, we can do that. So.
Yeah, and she's very professional, and my hat off to Ashley, too, because she's a very professional fighter and getting ready for her fight against you. Now, coming into this Fight Access TV, October 12th, you can watch it live. It's going to be a big show. Fallon is going to be there against Ashley Evans in a numerous amount of great fights on that card. Now, on the line, Fallon, you have the title, and you have $20,000 on the line. Have you have any plans already?
For sure.
What do you have? You have anything in mind you're going to do with those 20 grand?
Pay some bills, take a little vacation, you know, just chill for a little bit,
and
get ready for the next fight. That's what I'm up for.
And finally, aside from you being a fighter, do you also have a full-time job?
So, full-time job? I had one until I started in this tournament. Right now, you know, I'm kind of just working for this tournament, so.
What?
But fortunately, I have my partner to help me out, so.
That is cool. Well, if you win those $20,000, it will definitely pay off. Fallon, I want to thank you so very much. And catch her live, Access TV, October 12th, against Ashley Evans-Smith in the finals of the women's tournament. It started in January. It's now coming to an end. Fallon, anything you'd like to add to the people out there listening to us this afternoon, why should they should tune in to watch you and Evans go at it one-on-one on October 12th?
Because it's going to be a hell of a fight. Me and Ashley are going to go at it. And if you ever wanted to see something cool in your life, I would tune in to CFA on the 12th.
Awesome. Thank you, Fallon. Awesome. Thank you, Fallon.
When I train, I buy the best fight gear from All Out Fight Shop. They have the best deals and the most fitting clothing and attire. It's a guaranteed knockout. Like them on Facebook at All Out Fight Shop or follow them on Twitter at All Out Fight Shop. Visit them in person at 4805 Northwest 79th Avenue, Unit 9 in Doral, Florida. Sport what the pros wear. All Out Fight Shop. Keep up with the world of The Roman Show by following us on Twitter at RomanDH. Or like our fan page on Facebook. Look up The Roman Show to win free prizes. Hun, turn it down. I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Heck no.
Why not?
Because I'm listening to The Roman Show.
All right, guys, thanks for joining us again on The Roman Show. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at RomanDH and also subscribe to our YouTube account. That's youtube.com/rroman0201. Well, on the line, we had earlier today Fallon Fox, who will be part of the women's tournament finals. And on the other side, we have the opponent, Ashley Evans-Smith, who joins us on the line right now. Ashley, how are you? Welcome to The Roman Show.
Hi, I'm great. How are you guys?
Awesome. Well, Ashley, yeah, you know, I'm psyched to talk to you because I was just talking to Fallon, and I remember when I spoke to you last time when you were here in Miami, and you said that you weren't really impressed with her ground game. Now, in counter to that, she tells me that she was not impressed with your stand-up game when you fought for the first time in CFA, your first professional mixed martial arts fight. What can you say in regards to that statement?
Well, I mean, I know both of us are going to have, you know, we're both going to pick each other's game apart, you know, and we're both going to train appropriately for each other. But when it comes down to it, I, you know, talk to a bunch of people, including my coaches and other striking coaches. And, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, they said I was better or anything like that. But, you know, her stand-up game, I wouldn't say it was better than mine. I wouldn't say that mine is better. I'm just going to say that, you know, in 2 weeks or, you know, and if, you know, when we get in the cage on October 12th, everyone's going to be able to see who's the better striker, who's the better grappler. I'm completely confident that I'm better in every aspect of my game, whether it's striking or on the ground or, you know, any part of my game, you know, including my cardio. It's going to be a lot. It's going to be, it's on another level. You know, she can't even be on the same level as me right now.
You know, Ashley, you mentioned cardio, and I asked this to her as well. It seemed that in that fight, she seemed gassed out, and she admitted that she was. Do you think you have the advantage when it comes to cardio?
Definitely. You know, I know she has to have learned from that fight, and, you know, I guarantee she's trained hard in cardio-wise for that fight. But, you know, I've been doing that every single fight. I would never go into a fight unprepared, and she went into that fight clearly unprepared, and I don't know if she wasn't taking it seriously or if she was underestimating her opponent, but, you know, she was not ready for 3-5s, and I'm ready for 5-5s now. You know, I'm not sure if she is now, but, you know, I'd like to think that, you know, I'll definitely have the upper hand when it comes to cardio as well.
Now, Ashley, you opened up in the tournament earlier this year. January was the first time. February. And then you were scheduled to fight the second time around in the second round, but unfortunately your opponent dropped out. How have you been keeping busy since you have not been active since February?
Well, I mean, just like anyone would, you know, we kept training. We took, you know, about a week off. We had some downtime just to let my body rest and repair since we had a really hard camp to train for the semifinals. It was really unfortunate that we didn't get to actually compete, but it was nice to advance into the finals. we've been sparring, track workouts, you know, numerous workouts a day, you know, 2 days, 3 days. We've been training. We've had a, you know, an extra long camp since they did also push back the date of the finals. So I'm busy. I'm busier than ever, you know, just training constantly and, you know, working as well.
And Asha, you've been training with some big time names, some of them, including Ian McCall and Carlos Barza, the champion of Invicta FC.
Yeah, I've got a lot of great people around me, you know. I'm fortunate to have moved down to an area where MMA is, you know, like the mecca of MMA down in Southern California. And I have tons of great people, you know, that I get to train with and or hang out with, you know, learn from, whether it's technically or just, you know, mentally and emotionally, you know, how to prepare for your fight. And it's great. It's great to be around some really positive people. Yeah, Carla is one of my best friends. And, you know, Ian goes to my strength and conditioning gym with me. And, you know, he's a great guy as well.
Now, knowing that some of these guys, you know, Ian is in the UFC, Carla's in the Invicta FC, there was a lot of talk about the Ultimate Fighter, the first time the females were going to be featured, and it's airing right now on TV. Did you try up to that show by any chance? And how did it go if you did?
Yeah, I did. Oh, yeah, I did try out for it. They put me up in the hotel, and basically it was one of the last girls to be cut because of my record. You know, they wanted girls that had a little more experience under them. I think on the show right now, the girl with the least amount of fights has at least 4 professional fights. And at the time, and still even right now, I've only had 1 professional fight. So, you know, all my amateur fights, you know, having 9 amateur fights didn't really count. You know, it didn't matter to them because, you know, they were looking at the professional ranks. And, you know, I understand. And I think that it's, everybody is where they're supposed to be. And, it just wasn't my time to be in the UFC.
Hey, Ashley, defeating Fallon Fox, what would it mean to you and what would it mean to the MMA community?
You know, I feel really fortunate to have a large support group behind me. And I think there's a lot of people that want me to win this fight, or some people for the wrong reasons and, you know, a lot of people for the right reasons. But, you know, I've been in this sport for a couple of years now, and I worked hard from day one. And I know that Fallon has the sentiment that she has to prove to the world and the LGBT community that, you know, she should win this fight and she deserves this. But with all of my heart, I believe that I'm the actual person who deserves and who will win this fight, you know. This fight, you know, means the world to me. It's everything that I want in my entire life right now. It's everything that I want with my entire fiber of my being. You know, I have my degree, but I still, you know, work a job that allows me to work around my schedule and to train and to travel and to fight. But I don't do it, you know, for the money. I don't do it, you know, for the fame. It's because I actually like it. I enjoy waking up at the butt crack of dawn and training day in and day out. It's what I like to do. But this, winning this fight would actually give me a sense of validation, you know, that every day, all these years that I've been working hard, you know, it's finally going to pay off, you know. I deserve to win this title more than anything, and it'll basically be proving to myself that I do this for the right reasons, you know.
And now, Ashley, you're a wrestler. Your background is in wrestling. We saw what Fallon Fox did to Alana, although she's a completely different fighter from you, and we saw her ground game. How are you preparing for Fox's ground game and jiu-jitsu skill?
You know, like I said, we consistently train multiple disciplines, whether it's jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, you know, straight boxing, you know, and of course I have my wrestling background that we, you know, fine-tune day in and day out as well. Alana is a stand-up fighter, you know. She is a smaller fighter as well. And for someone to put her shin across her throat and make her tap out, I can just say that there is no way in hell that would ever happen to me, you know. Not against balance, that's for sure. My ground game is a step above hers. And we've just been training like we always do, you know. Every day we train consistently. We train jiu-jitsu, we train wrestling. And, you know, we know that she might have some advantages. You know, We're not silly. We're not thinking that we're just, you know, completely better than her in every way. You know, everyone always has some flaws, but we definitely have the right game plan. We definitely know exactly what we need to do to win this fight, and we're we're practicing it day in and day out. And, you know, come October 12th, she's going to see that we are ready for her.
$20,000 on the line aside from the title. Any plans of what you're going to do with the 20 grand?
You know, like I said, you know, I work a little waitressing job, and I struggle and I pinch pennies. So first of all, I'm just gonna kind of, you know, be comfortable, pay some bills, and not have to stress out about that kind of stuff for a little while. But you know, I want to help my family back home a little bit with some of the money as well. I come from a family, you know, not so well off, but I want to help my family out a little bit, and then probably just get right back into the gym, you know, save it, you know, and then work towards making more money with that money.
And you've been kind of active, you and Fallon, on social media. In fact, you recently posted to place your bets. And tell me about that, getting very involved in social media and going back and forth with her on Twitter, and how it excites the people.
No, I've never, I mean, I am definitely active in social media, except it's in a different way. It's not the way you would think, like, oh, I'm calling her out, or I'm, you know, I don't do that, you know. There was one small occurrence a couple weeks back or whatever it was, where, you know, I had said something like, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to keep this girl away from Fallon, and she had retaliated with, like, in my eyes, just a kind of juvenile response that, you know, she wanted to start trash talking. And, you know, that's not me. It's not what I do. A lot of fans want to see it. You know, I know it hypes the fight, but, you know, I don't like to portray a person that I really am not. So I'm not going to trash talk. You know, I'm pretty respectful of her. You know, I'm not going to come out to look like a lady. I'm not going to do any of that silliness, you know, that some people might think. But at the end of the day, I'm active on my social media for my fans, not for her, and not to you know, talk trash.
And I got to ask you one last question. When this tournament started, you guys were all friendly. All you girls were together and taking pictures. Are we going to see not a face-off picture, but a friendly picture between you and Fox before the fight, or will that have to be after the fight?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because the first round of the tournament, I remember being in the locker room. This is before she was outed. And, you know, I consider myself a pretty friendly person, you know. I don't care that we could potentially be fighting each other, you know. Me being an asshole a jerk to you or whatever is not going to make me win. It's not going to make me a better fighter, you know. So I feel like you can be friends to your opponent. You're friendly to your opponent. You know, some people have the exact opposite mindset, that you need to either hate your opponent, or you gotta just have your game face on 24/7, and that's fine. Whatever you need to do to get the job done, that's fine. But with Fallon, the first round, I was trying to be friendly, and I just got this, like, smug, like, kind of like the brush off from her, you know, and bad vibes. And then after she was outed, we came back for the semifinals. You know, we had to sit next to each other, and she was just kind of, like, extra nice, you know. And I'm not really sure why the turnaround was, you know. And, you know, I was actually shocked to see her kind of start to talk trash on social media, because, you know, she had been so almost friendly, you know, in person. But I don't know, you know, we'll have to see, you know. I'm definitely not someone to be walked on if she tries to be silly or talk trash or, you know, get in my face. Then I've never been a girl to back down, so we'll see what happens.
Well, I'm already pumped, because I don't know, you two, I think you guys are going to pull something out at least at the press conference. Ashley, one last question. What can people expect from you on Access TV October 12th at CFA 12th, so everyone can tune in?
Oh, sorry. Say that one more time.
What can people expect from you October 12th live on Access TV?
Well, if you tune in to Access TV on October 12th,
little issue there. We're back on the air. As you heard, Ashley Evans Smith and Fallon Fox going at it for the $20,000 and the featherweight title on the line. Guillermo, I don't know about you, but I do sense a little tension between these two girls.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot on the line. You know, it may not be as many eyes as we're watching before, but there's a lot of eyes watching, you know, this fight anyway. It's not as many as before, but it's still a lot of eyes compared to what a normal regional woman's fight would normally get. So, you know, those eyes are important because these girls might have a shorter road to the big show versus somebody else who's just, like, you know, not even on TV, like Access TV, not getting a lot of, you know, news articles written about them. So it's a big fight. There's a lot of eyes watching. If you lose a big fight like this, if you lose bad, I mean, it could set you back even worse than you normally would be set back.
Yep. And I'm sure as we get closer, it's definitely going to get even closer and closer, some more press. And let's see who wins. I honestly think Ashley can pull it off, man. She's a good wrestler. And we did see how Fox, after couple of third round, she seemed gassed out, and if it wasn't for her submission, then who knows what would have happened. But it's going to be an interesting matchup. But with that said, that's next Saturday. But the following Saturday after that is XFC Night of Champions, and Ben Brewer, who is on the line, will be fighting against Anthony Lemon. Welcome, Ben, to the Roman Show. How are you, man?
I'm all right.
Awesome, dude. Thanks so very much for joining us this evening as you are getting ready for your fight at the XFC. That's Friday, October 18th, and that's going to be on Access TV. And Brent Brewer is meeting Anthony Lemon. And as you're going in to this fight, how are you preparing for this fight against Lemon, Ben?
I was saying that, you know, I got to be prepared for whatever happens, but I'm pretty sure I know what's going to happen.
Anything specific or differently that you've done in your training or something that you've been improving on compared to in the past or something that you're really honing in or focusing on for this guy?
Conditioning, definitely. And sizing up for 170. I've always been a small 170, but, you know, this time could be a little different.
Now, you said you're working on your conditioning. Is this because your last fight went the three rounds? Prior to that, all your fights, the longest you had been was two rounds, which was your first one. And then after that, all of them were in the first round. Did that trigger you to focus more on your conditioning and your cardio?
No, I really was preparing for, you know, a hard fight with Matt Ward. You talking about, I kind of expected it. I wasn't going to be able to submit him in the first round. But, you know, it's always something that's been not necessarily a problem of mine, but somewhere that I can improve on, and that's what I'm going to try to do.
Now, your opponent lost by submission back in April. You yourself have three submission victories when it comes to professional MMA and in your amateur career. Well, you had a ton of them. Do you think that you have the advantage coming into this fight, number one, knowing that you have a three-fight win streak and knowing that submissions aren't really appreciated by this guy?
Oh, yeah, I know. I know that I'll have a huge grappling advantage, but I'm gonna be there for the fight, so I'm sure he is too. So what?
Yeah, Ben. According to, you know, your record on MixedMartialArts.com, you actually faced Anthony before and you submitted him. Do you expect the fight to go exactly the same way?
Not at all. Not at all.
And how do you expect it to go? I mean, are you gonna be looking for a submission, or are you gonna try to do something different this time?
It's no secret. I mean, I go in every fight looking for a submission, but he stopped it.
Yeah, so, you know, it's been 2 years since you two fought. I mean, you would expect that he would think that, well, you're going to be going for the submission right away. So, I mean, what's your backup plan if he's, like, figured out how to stop your submissions there?
Punch him in the face.
You couldn't hear me? Yeah. You know, since you submitted him so quickly with a triangle choke a couple years ago, I mean, you got to figure he's been preparing just for that reason. I mean, what's your backup plan in case he's really well prepared for the submissions there?
Punch him in the face.
Couldn't hear me?
I'm sorry. I said punch him in the face.
Gotcha. Now, you've been keeping pretty active. Yeah, so you've been keeping pretty active. You've been fighting quite a bit every single year for the last couple of years. I mean, how are you able to keep up that kind of pace without, you know, suffering injuries, having your body break down or anything?
I've been lucky, or, well, not lucky, but I've been blessed to not have any injuries during a fight or training. But, yeah, like you said, I like to stay pretty active. It keeps me ready all the time.
Gotcha. And, you know, what's unusual is your only loss in your professional career, it was like 50 seconds, but by cut. How is it possible that you can get cut so quickly? That seems kind of unbelievable that a fight could get stopped that quickly.
Yeah, that was pretty controversial. I actually hit my own head into the cage, and it caused a pretty nasty gash. I ended up getting like 20-something stitches in my forehead, but it's all healed up now, and I've already avenged the loss, so just ready to move on.
Yeah, it's really unusual, you know, that something like that. It's like you don't even really have a loss, in my opinion. You know, that seems like a fluke. Like
me,
you know, that shouldn't even count.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really count that. I mean, there's been fights like that in the past, too. Like, I don't know if you ever saw the fight with Vitor Belfort and Randy Couture, where Vitor's, like, glove slashed Randy's eyelid in, like, 10 seconds. Like, to me, that shouldn't even count, man. That shouldn't even count.
And, Ben, how's your story as far as getting involved with mixed martial arts? What was the key thing that said, hey, you know, I'm going to go out there and be a mixed martial artist?
Well, I started jiu-jitsu at a pretty young age, and I happened to be at a amateur MMA fight in my hometown, and a dude didn't show up, or they had a back out or something, and they knew that I had trained before, so they asked me if I would do it, and I said yes, and I won by submission, and it's just kept fighting ever since then.
That is awesome, Ben. Well, I want to give you an early good luck here as you're getting ready for your fight on October 18th, and that's going to air live on Access TV. So for any information, you could also visit xfcmma.com as you can watch Ben Brewer versus Anthony Lemon. And on that fight card, there will be a couple of titles on the line, which will be really, really cool. Ben, anything else you'd like to add, man?
I give a big shout out to Game Changer Clothing, Sports Care, Gadget Gear, Jacqueline Steve Turkey, everybody that's helped support me up to this point.
Awesome, Ben. Well, thanks so much, dude, and good luck on October 18, Access TV. Don't miss that show, guys. Night of Champions 3, as the main event will be Carl versus Holtzman for the lightweight title. And also flyweight title, Casey versus Gonzalez, and also Alonzo versus Santos, which Alonzo we had here not too long ago. Good luck, Ben, and I hope to talk to you soon with talk about that W, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, dude. All right, good night, man. All right, there you have it, folks. Ben Brewer, her fight for the XFC. We've had a nice show today, and we will be back next week, actually on Tuesday. I don't even know what we have. We have so many guests nowadays, man. It's so hard to keep up with what we do here with the show. But next Tuesday, we'll be back on the air. Sorry, I apologize. We won't be on the air on Tuesday. We will be on Wednesday, as we'll be getting some interviews there with some mixed martial artists. But on the 15th, Guillermo, we are going to welcome E.J. Snyder. Do you know who E.J. Snyder is, Guillermo?
Is that a mixed martial artist or not?
No, he's not.
That's why I don't know who it is.
Well, E.J. Snyder, Guillermo, is a guy who came out on Discovery's Naked and Afraid. What is Naked and Afraid? Well, I'm not sure if you watched the Discovery Channel when the guy was crossing, I think it was the Grand Canyon, on a very thin wire. So right after that, they premiered Discovery's Naked and Afraid. What is Naked and Afraid? Well, they put a guy and a girl buck naked on an island, and they have to survive for a certain amount of time. And this guy was a part of that show. So he's going to join us, let us know how what the experience was for EJ, in quotation marks, Skull Crusher Snyder. And it's a pretty cool show. I'm not sure if you've seen it, Guillermo, but if you haven't, once you watch the 10, I want to say 5 minutes of it, you're in. You're hooked. Because it's pretty
just
cool.
It's just a guy and a girl? Just a guy and a girl on an island naked?
Random guy and girl. They have no clue who they are. They have no clue who they're going to be living with. And they put them in the jungle. Butt naked. They throw you in there. On a boat. Yeah, you've seen that. You're not with me. You put them in the boat. They take you on a boat. They leave you on the island. They tell you to take off your clothes, take off everything, and you go. There's no food. There is no shelter. It's just basically you just got to survive on your own with whatever is on the island. So you see some of the contestants eating turtles and killing alligators and eating snakes, anything that they can find. And these are regular
but
people like you and me.
How long are they on this island?
I think it's about maybe for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, something like that.
With no food or water? Like they have to go out and find their own food and water?
Hey, just like in the caveman times, man. Just like that. And again, the funny part is they go in there naked. Literally
naked.
Yeah,
but I mean, are they putting the guy and the girl in like completely different parts of the island or are they together?
No, they're together. They have to depend on each other to survive.
Now, there's not like any sort of no sex rule, is there?
As far as I'm concerned, I have not seen any sex on the show. But
yeah, but they didn't forbid it. They didn't forbid it according to the rules or anything.
No. I'm sure if you gotta do your thing, you gotta do your thing. But honestly, I don't think in that type of atmosphere you want to do. I mean, I don't know. I can't tell you. I'm not in that position, but. You got to remember, there's no showers there. There's no toothpaste. There's nothing. And in one episode, actually, they use it was something from a tree that the lady used to brush her teeth because there's nothing there. It's literally they throw you out on the island and you have to just do it on your own. Survive.
Now, but there are camera crews and stuff, so there's actually other people there.
There are people there, but they can't help you whatsoever. And in fact, then one of them, I think, he got bit by a snake or something like that. I can't remember.
Where's this island at? Do you know?
Different islands. Some of them are in Central America and in other places in Latin America. But I think they change throughout the season.
So it's like Survivor, but without clothes.
Yes. And the funny part is when they first walk into the island and they check each other out, they're naked. I think that the first episode that I saw, the guy or the girl says, all right, look, you just checked me out. Let me turn around. You can check my ass. You can check this. All right, now that we've seen each other, let's go. So we checked each other out.
Wait, how can I see this show, Roman?
Your Discovery Channel. Just go on Discovery Channel. I'm sure that I think they put it on Sundays. I'm not really quite sure, but
what's it called again?
It's called Naked and Afraid. In fact, if you go to Discovery Channel, the Discovery Channel website, you can see some of the episodes there on the Discovery Channel.
Now, are these all like young people, or they put like a 60-year-old like with his ball sack hanging out?
I mean, it depends. Like this guy, EJ Snyder, was 46. I can't remember the top of my head who was he was paired off, but yeah, there are young girls. There are girls that are, you know, in their 20s and guys are in their 20s and guys are in their 40s and vice versa. See, one of them was an island in Panama. That was one of them where they filmed it. But it's really cool, man. Check it out. The website is just dsc.discovery.com and just look at the TV show and just see all this stuff.
Are all these people attractive, or are some of them pretty ugly and fat, or what?
Maybe I guess one of them are attractive. I don't know, man. It's up to you.
No, I'm just saying, because, like, you know, maybe for ratings they put beautiful people or whatever. I don't know.
No. Okay, let's be honest, Guillermo. When have you seen a hot outdoorsy girl? Seriously. Like, smoking hot.
I mean, I don't know how much they're paying people for this. I mean, I don't know how it works.
I'm talking about Beyonce smoking hot. When have you seen that?
So these are not Beyonce smoking hot girls.
No, exactly. I mean, hey, but to each his own. I mean, to you might be.
But you don't
Beyonce
get to see everything. They just blur everything out, right?
Yeah. They blur the private parts. Of
Is there like an unedited internet version or whatever?
No. See, now you're thinking perverted, man. I don't know. Maybe they do on demand. You purchase it on the weekend. I don't know. It beats me. But as far as I'm concerned, no. There are no unrated, R-rated. I don't know. Plus, it's pretty nasty. In one episode, believe it or not, one of the girl gets her period. And it's pretty nasty, man. But whatever.
They got to blur out her whole lower half of her body?
Well, they don't show that. I mean, they walk
exactly
around with a cleave. They walk Adam and Eve. You got to check it out, dude. And it's cool.
Was that? What? You?
In one of the episodes, the guy goes in weighing at a certain weight, I don't know, 260 or something, and then they show him after, and they show you how much he pounds, 30 pounds, because of it.
Wow, that's crazy, man.
Yeah,
that's
check
crazy.
It out, man. DiscoveryChannel.com. It's called Naked and Afraid. Again, they have a whole bunch of episodes now. I think they show it on Sundays, I want to say, but I could be wrong. Again, check your TV schedule there, whether you have a satellite or whatever it is. But enjoy it. And EJ Snyder, then, he'll be joining us later this month on The Roman Show. With that said, anything else you'd like to add?
I remember next Wednesday when our show is on is when the UFC is having Damian Maia fight against Jake Shields. So you definitely want to watch that.
Yeah, so we'll try to work around that schedule so it won't coincide with the UFC event. And also, again, we'll be at the CFA show next week. Also, want to invite you guys to the YouTube channel. We have an exclusive interview with UFC President Dana White. We got the whole media question and answer portion of Anderson Silva and Chris Weidman. You can see it for yourself. So it's some good stuff, man. Good stuff. With that said, again, subscribe to our YouTube, youtube.com/allroman0201. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/RomanShowMedia. And follow us on Twitter @TheRomanShow. All right, guys, good night. And by the way, Guillermo, later this month, we will be out in South Florida at the House of Horror. That's in Miami. And the International Mall parking, where they have all these haunted houses and all of that. But get this, Guillermo, the coolest thing is they have midget wrestling. Yes, they have little people wrestling.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Why?
Yeah,
are
I've seen it on
this?
TV. I saw it on TV a long time ago.
Yeah, the micro, what do they call it, microchip wrestling?
Yeah, with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, well, they're going to be at the show, at this park. They're going to have a match an hour. So all the little people wrestler or midget wrestling, red wrestlers, they'll be out there in action. And we will be hosting a show live from the venue. Details are coming soon. And we will make sure to give away a pair of tickets so you can check out the haunted house. And heck, you can meet us there in person. So keep it tuned here as Halloween's around the corner. By the way, Guillermo, for just $40, you ready for this? We all saw what happened with Miley Cyrus on the MTV Video Awards. And what's his name? Robin Thicke?
Robin Thicke?
Robin Thicke.
I don't know. For some reason, I thought it was another guy. Well, guess what, Gamer? For $40, they got the Halloween costume, man. They got the Robin Thicke and Miley Cyrus Halloween costume for sale.
That's ridiculous.
So if you're thinking of a Halloween costume, if you're looking for a Halloween costume, well, start twerking tweeting. Because for $39 each costume, that's the Robin Thicke, and $39 for the Miley Cyrus, you can you could be a. Maybe we should do that. Huh? Robin Thicke, Miley Cyrus. Maybe it's
yeah,
be a hot.
I mean, like I hated that whole situation. I mean, I just disapprove of like how Miley Cyrus is like portraying herself and all that. So, man, like, I hope nobody buys that costume, man.
I bet you a lot will, man. And like, you can't.
No,
make
that'd
a
be
girl.
Real sad. That'd be real sad. Because I don't understand how her song's on the number one on the Billboard Hot 100 right now. I'm like, who is listening to this music?
Someone is, but you can't hate her. You know, she. Listen, that's the reason why we're talking about her, because of what she did.
And yeah, I mean, but like, I'm wondering why people care. Why, like, if somebody like portrays themselves that way, why are people astonished by this? Why are they giving her money? You know, like, what are they doing?
Hey, it has to be something in the water. I can't really explain it to you, but all I know.
I feel bad
is
if a bunch of little girls are looking up to her and like they're gonna become like her as well. I mean, I feel really bad for the next generation, man.
Well, don't you remember what happened with Britney Spears when she went on the loose and she cut her hair and she
yeah, but you
know,
didn't
she
see
was...
chicks all over the United States cutting their hair and pretending to be like her.
Yeah, but she was not, and she's doing all these drugs. Even so, they saw her snorting cocaine on a toilet. I think it was here in Florida too. And then she did a little flash down there on her crotch. Come on. I mean, she had her thing, and she came from Disney. So it doesn't make it any different. I mean, these guys are under a lot of pressure, and that's what people don't understand. People that are born and raised on television have a lot of pressure. They have a lot of stress, and they've never been normal like you and me. You know, they've always had cameras around, and it's pretty difficult for them to somehow understand it. So that's why they go and do drugs and drink alcohol, because they can't take the stress. So they start releasing it on this. It's their catharsis. But at the end of the day, we hope that Miley Cyrus understands the situation. But as of right now, it seems like she's in a happy place, hanging out with all these rappers and twerking and, you know, what are they calling? The Miley with the whole little tongue thing? Well, hey, if it works, I'm sure she'll change it. I'm sure maybe in a couple of years she'll be normal. She hasn't even turned 21 yet. So wait a couple of years, she'll mature. You know how it is. I'm sure you did crazy
stuff
when you're 20.
It's one thing if you're just naturally like how she's behaving. But like you could tell, like this is like an act, man. Like she was one way like just a year or two ago, and now she's gone in a completely different direction. It's like some record guy walked up to her and they go, "Oh, if you act like this and you do this and you stick out your tongue like this, your sales will go up by 250%." Like it sounds like somebody put her up to it. They taught her how to act this way, and she's playing a role. That she's not really like this. It'd be okay if she was really like that. That's one thing. But I think she's just playing a role for everybody to see, and behind the scenes, she's like some completely different person.
Well, they're artists, man. They're performers, and they're going to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's fake. That's fake. If you're really that way, that's one thing. If you're really skank like that, and that's how you naturally are, that's cool. That's who you really are. But if you're really this nice person who's exploiting people to buy your albums by acting skanky when you're really not, and that's another thing, because that's like lying. That's like straight up lying.
No, but it's performance, man. She's an actress. I mean, she is an actress, and she's a singer. She needs to sell. She needs some controversy. You know, Lady Gaga was doing all these crazy things. Now all of a sudden, she started doing, I don't know, squats and her ass is down. Everybody likes her. Everybody's, oh, look, Lady Gaga, she's normal compared to Miley Cyrus. You know, they go through phases. As an artist, you always have to reinvent yourself, and you have to bring something new to the table. So she went from squeaky clean Hannah Montana to twerking Miley Cyrus. And we're talking about it. And that's the important part, and that's what they like. I think her Twitter followers increased by, I have I have no, I don't know how many numbers, but it really increased by a lot after the whole.
That's really sad, man. And what does that say about the rest of the those people that are following her all of a sudden because of this act? I mean, what does that really say about, like, these people and, like, that portion of the American population or the worldwide population for that matter? I mean, that's really sad, man.
Well, you can ask all 14.315,892 of them. That's how many people are following her.
You know who I got respect for? The people who were following her, and then they stopped following her because of what she did. Those are the people I got respect for.
And that may be like one or two, because I'm sure a lot of them follow her, and I don't think they're leaving anywhere. For God's sake, she has more followers than Beyonce. She beat
her
by 2
that's
million.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
I don't make these things up, man. I don't make these things up. It's out there. You can see it for yourself. But heck, they're setting the thing. Shoot, she has more followers. Well, so she doesn't have. That's a good thing. She doesn't have more followers than Barack Obama. That's a very good thing, because that would be pretty sad.
That would be sad. That would be absolutely terrible. That was a good. And she got followers than Anderson Silva or GSP, I'm sure of that.
Well, let's see. I'll tell you right now. I'm pretty sure she does have.
Yeah, I mean, Anderson Silva and GSP can't be anywhere near her number.
No, Anderson Silva has 3.914451. And no way in hell these guys, and no offense to GSP or Anderson Silva, but Miley Cyrus is, you know, 14 million ahead of you.
Yeah,
guys, but, you know.
GSP and Anderson need to start twerking.
Maybe that might get us, man. Maybe. GSP doesn't even have a million followers on Twitter. How about that one?
All GSP does is do that little backflip after he wins, or, you know, Anderson, like, he does his little, like, samba sort of dance, like, right after he knocks somebody out. Like, that's all they do. They don't twerk.
Well, they better twerk. That's how they're going to get more followers.
Yeah, UFC pays for that, too. Like, they pay, like, the greatest increase in Twitter followers fighter, like, they pay him a little bonus every few months. I'm sure you've heard of that before.
Yeah, it's the future, man. All right. Well, thanks so very much, guys, for tuning in. And by the way, October 12th against CFA 12. But prior to that, Dada 5000 is going to have his backyard fights. You want to be there, man. It's up in, as he likes to call it, Pirine or Pirine. That sounds south in South Florida. Well, catch you next week, guys. Good night.
What's up? This your boy, Kimo Slice. And if I got one thing to say about these amateur fights, not only did I have a good time tonight, but I want everybody to know you got to keep watching with Dolfo Roman. If you keep your eyes upon that, man, you'll be all right. You'll know what's going on. So stay hip to Dolfo Roman. This your boy, Kimo Slice, 305, and we out.